Our scripture reading today is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, and we'll be reading verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We're thankful today to have with us Columbus. Those of you who've been here for a while will remember him. He's been with us since we've been on Hoosick Street. Columbus, welcome. Also, we'd like to welcome Colleen, a friend of Columbus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? It is so good to be here. I was really excited when Hugh came to the office and said, you know what, we need some linen. I don't have a problem with that. Anytime you guys need something, I'm more than happy to donate whatever linen you need. But he said, I need you to sing. I said, okay. Kind of caught me by surprise. But it's truly a blessing to be here this morning. And to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. I have a song this morning that I really didn't get a chance to sing it to my mom. I lost my mom last year, so I never got a chance to sing this little song. I hope that you enjoy it. I think it's appropriate for today. And it goes something like this. I remember when I was just a small child, sitting on my mother's knee. Mama told me all about the Bible, so that I might be free. She told me when I was very young, this old race gonna be hard to run. For the Bible, early in the morning, I know she prayed for me. She prayed for me. She prayed for me. Ooh, she prayed for me both night and day. I hear her saying, Lordy, oh Lordy, come on, see about my children today. Don't let them go astray. I know she prayed for me. She prayed for you. She prayed for me. Ooh, she prayed for me both night and day. I hear her saying, Lordy, 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 Lordy. And it lingers on in my mind, y'all. Oh, my. She said, oh, my. I remember mama being in that old kitchen, rattling those pots and pans. She said, Lord, come on, see about my children. Don't let them go astray. You know all about me, Lord. You know that I know you can bring a wandering child home. You put food on my table. Lord, you know. I know all about you. I know she prayed for me. She prayed for me. And as I look back, y'all, I remember being in the hospital. I had tubes in this arm. And I was lying. I didn't know what the day was. Well, but when I woke up, Mama was right there by my bedside on bended knee. And she said, Lord, Lord, come on, see about my child. Oh, don't let him go astray. I know she prayed for me, y'all. I know she prayed for me. Had me on her mind. I know she prayed for you. I know she prayed for me.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, church. We've had quite an interesting week this week. I woke up, when was it? Monday morning, and turned on the news to hear about the happenings in the world with what happened with Osama bin Laden. And you know, I was reminded on September 11, 2001, I was at work in our office in Plattsburgh. This is before I entered the ministry. And I had calls in my hand to go work on some equipment north of Plattsburgh, northwest of Plattsburgh. And I remember that we heard over the radio that planes had flown into the World Trade Center. And then we got a TV, we put it on the counter in the store in the front there and turned it on, and we saw all the things that went on. And I remember holding the calls in my hand and thinking, you know, I really got to get to these calls, because they're needing somebody to come fix their stuff. And I remember driving away, going to my call, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't sit right with me that here I am going on about my business just like normal. I'm going to work, I'm doing my thing, and you know, several hours south of me there's a bunch of people running for their lives, buildings being destroyed, and just lives being turned upside down. And I was going on with my day like nothing ever happened. And I still remember that feeling. I just felt like I was almost letting people down that I didn't even know. And all those thoughts came running back Monday morning as I was just listening to the news and hearing about what had been done. And you know, one thing that came to my mind in terms of a thought of what recently happened was this, and that is that you can run, but you cannot hide. And I mean by that, I mean with regards to the devil. Okay, the devil has leash right now. He can run, but he cannot hide. And I'm reminded that this party is not going to go on forever. And I hope and pray that those who can hear my voice right now will think of themselves and where they're at with God. You can run, but you cannot hide. You know, there was Moses who said to the Israelites, be sure your sin will find you out. If there's anything positive that we can take, because no matter how bad a person may be, God himself says, I do not rejoice at the death of the wicked. There are lessons that we need to at least take from these things, as we can run, but we cannot hide. And may we be able to be correct with God when our time comes. That has nothing to do with the message this morning that I want to share with you, but I just felt like I had to say something on it, because it was on my mind. I can imagine that it was also on yours. Today we want to thank God for women, thank God for mothers. I was doing a sermon one time and I got up and the very first thing that I said was, I praise the Lord for women. And I think it was, people didn't know how to take that comment. Because you know me, right? And I have a habit of sticking my foot in my mouth. What I meant to say, I praise God for the gift that God has given to us of women. I saw a t-shirt once that said, of course God created man before he made woman. You always make a rough draft before you bring out the masterpiece. I figured that one would get an amen. I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord for the women in my life. Praise the Lord for the women in our lives. I want to invite you to turn to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I want you to listen to what it says here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. What we're looking at here is a description of the creation. God creates this world in 6 days, and he has so much power that all he has to do is say, let there be, and there is. And then God goes through the process of creating Adam, and he creates him with his own hands. He breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. Listen to what God says after he creates Adam. He says in Genesis 2:18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, here's one thing that I didn't pick up that as I was looking at some notes here. the study notes in my Bible, it brings out something that I had not noticed before. It says that this is the first time during this creation process where God said something was not good. God created the everything that we need to live on this planet and to be sustained and to be happy. But creation, when he said it is not good, remember, just before that, at the end of every day, what did God say? It is good. And when he was done on the sixth day, he says, the Bible says that God said, it is very good. But then after he creates Adam and he gives Adam the job of naming these creatures, at some point in that process, God says, it is not good. The connotation or the inference, what he's saying is, it's not complete. I am not finished. Well, what was it? The sun, the air, the trees, the animals, man, they were all there, but there was something, we can call it the cherry on top of the sundae. Something was missing. It's not good. It's not done yet. And what was not done? Well, he hadn't created women. He hadn't created a woman yet. Now, women are not just a copy of a man with different physical parts. That's not what a woman is. I have the Young's Literal Translation Bible puts Genesis 2:18 this way. It says, "And Jehovah God saith, not good for the man to be alone. I do make him a helper as his counterpart." You see, before sin entered into the world, it was God's purpose for the woman not to be a servant, but to be a helper, a counterpart to man. She was not supposed to be beneath. She was not supposed to be above. She was supposed to be by his side. And I personally praise the Lord for the women in my life. I think I told you this story before, but you know, it's this time where we remember our mothers. And I think of my own mother. When I was, we come from a very dysfunctional background, and my father took me away from my mom. He kidnapped me and in a moment took me away, not to live with him, but just so that I wouldn't live with her. And sent me away to live with his sister. And I remember, I don't remember I was five. I'm told this story now that after searching, my mother finally caught up with her ex-husband. And she told him, "You will give me my son or I am going to kill you. Right here, right now, you choose. You kill me, or I kill you, or you give me my son." There's one of those three options. Something is happening here right now. And had it not been for my mother, I can pretty much guarantee I probably would not be standing here today. I might not even be standing at all. I praise the Lord for my wife. You know, we just had this conversation last night about the fact that marriage can be scary. And Hugh and I were talking about the idea that it's not scary, and it is scary at the same time. And it's scary because you may come into this with one thing, but you're putting your faith and trust in another fallible human being. And you never know. It's a risk. It's less of a risk to give your heart to Jesus because he's the one that will never let you down. But when you put your faith in humans, you open yourself up. But yet, as we're talking about that, we were talking about the importance. You know, if you're going to get married, you need to get married to someone that is your friend. Yes, someone that you are attracted to, but they need to be your friend. And so I praise the Lord for my wife, who is my friend. And she's my intellectual superior in many ways. You know, I was thinking about the subject of creation, and you know me by now. You know that I am a joker. I those of you that know me, what I believe is a strength is also a weakness. You know, some people don't like a pastor that is too happy. You know, you got to be serious and, you know, holy and righteous. And unfortunately, you did not get stuck with one of those. You got me. But I use my imagination, you know, and I was praying and I said, "Lord, you know, it's Mother's Day and we want to focus on moms because they are often neglected. What kind of a sermon do you want me to preach? What do you want said?" And I began to think and I began to wonder and I also began to laugh because this thought came to my mind. What if women were more like men? You know, in other words, what if the woman was not made as a counterpart to a man? She was just a copy of a man inside with just a few different things on the outside. And I began to laugh because in my mind I'm picturing, you know, then women would be a lot hairier. They'd be a lot stronger and we'd always be worried, you know. You pick that up, you know. You don't need me anymore. We'd feel like we weren't needed anymore. And I told you, I'm thinking about these things. I'm thinking, what would it look like if women acted and behaved more like men? And I began to laugh because I can picture in my mind, you know, this little child playing on the playground, and he's swinging on a swing, and he falls off the swing and scrapes his knee, and he gets it all bloody, and he runs up to his mommy. He said, "Mommy, mommy, I hurt myself." And mommy says, "Shake it off, boy. Don't cry. Come on, be a man. It's no big deal. Shake it off." And then I had this picture in my mind. Imagine a boy comes home from school, right? And he has this note or something from school, and he says to his mom, he says, "Mommy, I got into a fight today," and he has this big black eye. What would his mommy say? I mean, if she was more like a man, she would say, "Well, did you win?" Right? So I'm sitting here in my own, in this thing that I call, that some people call it a brain, but you know, I'm thinking these things, and I'm just having a good time laughing at my own thoughts. But I started to ask the question, what if women were more like men? In the way they acted, the way they thought, in the way that they behaved, and it is, this message is a bit tongue-in-cheek. But I hope you do get something out of this, because it is difficult to stereotype. Not all men are alike either. But what if women acted more like men? What if the women in the Bible were more like men? What do you think would have been the end result of some of these stories? So what I want to do is I want to look at a couple of different stories in the Bible and just ask that question. So the first story I'd like to ask you to turn to is John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, we read the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you actually from two places in the Bible. This first one, John 19, verse 25. Give you a second to get there. The Bible gives a description of the crucifixion scene. Jesus is arrested. He's tried. He's finally crucified. Remember, how many disciples did he have following him? How many men disciples? He had 12 disciples that were following him. How many disciples were actually there at the crucifixion? There was only one, John. But listen to what John 19, verse 25 says. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Mary Magdalene was not one of high pedigree. She was not one with this, you know, really pure background. She was one of questionable background. We read in Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew 28. Here we are talking about the same subject, but in Matthew's account. And Matthew, in Matthew 28, says this, 28 verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" Yeah, what if Mary was more like the men? Well, we know where the men were, or we know where the men weren't, right? They weren't with Jesus. If Mary had decided, "Well, you know, it's more expedient for me to stay hidden, It's smarter for me to kind of stay with the men. You know what it's like for a woman traveling a dark road before dawn in those days with robbers and thugs waiting for just around the corner? You know what they exposed themselves to? Had Mary behaved more like the men, then she would have missed out on the resurrection of Jesus. Had Mary behaved more like the men, she would have missed out on being the first evangelist. You know, the first person preaching the news of a risen Savior was a woman. Women. It seems to me that women tend to show more commitment at times. They certainly show more love. And it seems to me that women have been given, while they don't have the biceps for strength, it seems that God has given women an inner strength that sometimes, many times, is stronger even than men's strength. Let's look at another story. Luke chapter 1. That's the third book in the New Testament. Luke 1. Here we have the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 30, listen to what the Bible says as its story here. It says, let me find it here. Well, let me give you a little bit of background. Mary is engaged to be, she's engaged to be married to Joseph. And can you imagine, those of you that have gotten married, when you're engaged, is that a happy time or a sad time? I hope it was happy. It's a happy time. The hopes, the dreams. You're thinking of all these things that you're going to do. Then this happens. An angel shows up to her. In Luke chapter 1 verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." You know, we look at this story and we think it's a beautiful story, but what is he actually saying that is going to happen to her? In those days, for a woman to be pregnant and not be married is a crime punishable by stoning. That is what she has to look forward to. All this regalia, all this, "I'm so happy," all these things, you know, maybe she's thinking of the Jewish equivalent to a bridal shower and all these things that are going to happen, this festivity, this week-long wedding feast that they may have, and all of a sudden now the angel says, "Listen, change of plans, you're about to have a baby with no dad, no earthly dad." All her dreams, all her hopes. You know, what if Mary were more like a man? What if Mary were more like a modern man? How many men are willing to sacrifice for God? How many men are willing to sacrifice their reputation for spiritual things? How many men are willing to say to their co-workers, "Yes, I'm a Christian, I don't drink. Yes, I am a Christian. I can't go with you on Saturday because that's my Sabbath." How many men are willing to stand up and be men for God? Unfortunately, not many. What if Mary was more like one of those men and she said, "No, do I have a say in this matter? I'm not having no baby without a father. I'm going to be killed. My family's going to ostracize me. My name will go down in infamy as one of those people." No way. Are you crazy, angel? No, I'm not doing that. What about my rights? What about my needs? What about what I want? Doesn't that matter? Well, what is her response? Praise the Lord that she did not respond like that. Verse 38 says this, "Then Mary said, Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Here we see in this woman an example, a trait of willing submission and obedience to God, even if it comes at a loss. This woman was willing to put God's needs above her own needs. How many women today who come to know Jesus and are living in a home where the spouse may not know Jesus are willing to submit themselves to that situation and be obedient to God and obedient to their husband and love their husband? How many men are willing to do the same thing? Let's look at another story. You remember Esther. The Bible tells the story of the predicament of the children of Israel. Esther becomes the queen of Medo-Persia. The Jews have been marked for destruction, but being that she is the queen, she has the ability to talk to the king and try and get this resolved. But here's the problem. The rules back then were a lot less forgiving than they are now. If the queen just walks up to the king without being required or invited or asked, she endangers her head. You know what happened to the last queen that didn't listen to the king? She was removed. So Mordecai, her uncle, says, "You need to help us out. You got to go to the king." What happens here? Well, let's read the book of Esther. That's in the Old Testament, book of Esther. It's before Psalms, Esther, Job, Psalms. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, we read what happens here. This is her response after she's asked to do this thing. In Esther 4, verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, her uncle. She says, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." What if Esther was more like a man? What if Esther was more like a modern man? You know, what happens when a man is given a problem, what's the first reaction the man wants to do? What do we like to do? Do we like to talk about it? No, men don't like to talk about it. Let's fix it. I mean, that's one of the things that grate a relationship between a man and a woman, you know, right? When a woman has a problem, she wants to talk about it. I mean, it takes about 5 seconds before the man has an answer, a solution. But no, the woman wants to talk. What if Esther was more like a man and Mordecai says, "Hey, we got a problem, we got to do this"? In my imagination, now understanding this is my imagination. In my imagination, if Esther was more like a man, she'd say, "Well, we got a problem, let's fix it. I'm not afraid of the king. We don't need to, you know, I'm going right now. Where is he? Hey, we got to talk. We got a problem and I expect you to fix it." What would have been Esther's fate? The law was, if you announced yourself, if you came before the king without being asked, that you endanger your head to the king. Unless he held out the scepter, indicating that you receive his mercy. Going before the king, fasting first, shows this, that this woman had wisdom. And this woman understood that when I face a problem, it's not by the might, it's by relying on God that I can receive the victory. Women, wisdom. I want to share one more. You know, here's the funny thing. As I was trying to, in my mind, kind of asking the Lord and putting things down, notes, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you know, I need another story. I mean, this is not long enough because we'd be done and people would say, "Oh, the sermon was too short." this is too short. I need another one, Lord. Give me an idea. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, yeah, I'm thinking of some women in the Bible. And I have my computer in front of me because I can get to the text quicker. And I look at my computer, and it was already, I had already opened it, and it is open to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Do you know who's in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the woman that's mentioned? The woman Hannah. And I'm looking at the screen, and I'm reading the story, and I began to laugh because I couldn't have planned it any better. So let me share with you the story of Hannah. God is so good, let me tell you. Let's turn there first, in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah has a problem. What's her problem? She's barren. She doesn't have any children. She's married to a man who has more than one wife. The other wife, she's having kids, and she's despising Hannah because Hannah can't have any children. What we read here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 8, let me share this with you. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? This is how sad she was. You know, when you're mad or sad, depressed, the appetite is one of the first things to go. He said, why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I told you I was having a little bit of fun with this. I will admit. Hannah had a problem. She goes to the front entrance to the tabernacle of Moses, and she begins to cry and pray and just pour her heart out to God. The high priest pronounces a blessing on her. Samuel is born. What if Hannah were more like a man? Do you know that men and women behave differently when they're stressed? Do you know that men and women behave differently when they have pains in their heart? Do you know that when a man is hurting, your heart could be broken, guys. Okay? You could want something so bad. And your heart could just have this burden, this need, and you walk up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing, man? And they're like, I'm okay. It's good. I'm all right. It's all good. Am I right? Because we don't want people to know when we're hurting. We don't want people to know that we're actually, you know, underneath the exterior, we're humans. Our hearts ache and they break just like anybody else. We bleed just like anyone else. But we want to show that we're tough. We're strong. We don't need anybody. I'm a man. I don't need anyone. What if Hannah was more like a man? And she goes to the temple. And she stands there with her hands together like this. And with this smile on her face like everything's okay. Like many of us come to church. Everything's good. Yeah. Yeah. But in her heart is breaking because she doesn't have any children. She believes that her barrenness is a sign of God's displeasure with her. She's looked at by everybody around her as not, you don't have any value unless you're popping out sons. What if Hannah was unwilling to open her heart to God? You know, the other thing that we see with Hannah is that as soon as the high priest said to her, may God grant your request, the Bible says she got up, she ate, and her face was no longer sad. She had peace. She also had something that we call faith. What if Hannah was more like a man? You know, when men talk, we use a lot of cliches. Hey, take care, man. God bless. If someone says something to you, well, yeah, may God grant your request, I don't think a man would have taken that as God answering his prayer. It's just the normal departure that you say when you're talking to people. Hey, God bless, man. You take care. All right. Peace. Yeah, no problem. But what did Hannah show? Hannah showed a willingness to open her heart to God about what was ailing her. She didn't care what anybody else thought about her. She just cared about bringing her petition to God. If Hannah were more like a man, she would never, ever have exposed herself like she did. If Hannah was a man, maybe she might not have had that kind of faith. God created the woman as a comparable counterpart to man. In relationships, in business, in church councils, we find that these mechanisms work better when we include input from everyone that makes up the organization. Praise God. You should praise God for the women in your life. You are who you are because of their influence. These women were put in the Bible to give an example of the qualities that women today should try to follow. What does God want you to be as a woman? He wants you to be a godly woman. He wants you to exemplify faith, trust in God, reliance, submission to His ways. He doesn't want you to be like the babblers, the people that are always into the gossip, the drunkards, the people that are always into the partying. It's not what God wants as a quality for you because He knows it brings you down. Commitment, love, inner strength, submission and obedience to God, reliance and trust in God, and faith in God, and trust in His Word. Praise the Lord for women. Praise the Lord for mothers. But having said all that, having praised women and lifted women up because I believe God has given us a great gift, I want to share with you one more Bible text which comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. And this is what I'll end with here. Isaiah 49 verse 15. And 16. This is what the Bible says. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? He replies, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. You know what the sad thing is? Is that there are some that don't want to praise the Lord for their mothers. There are some who have not had the benefit of having a mother that has provided, that has protected, that has stayed up when you've been sick, that has gone without so that you could have. The Bible says that even they may forget you, but it says, I will not forget you. And then verse 16 says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. As great as the love of a mother is, God's love for us is even greater. May God bless you, and I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Dear Father, I do thank you. You are such an awesome, wonderful, forgiving God. You tell us that as great as a mother's love is, and it is truly great, you've given them a blessing, an ability to love almost beyond comprehension, at least on the part of the men. Father, to see how a woman can, they don't even know how much they can love something until they have a child. To see the love and devotion that you've instilled in them, I thank you for that, but I thank you even more that as great as that is, it doesn't even compare with the love that you have for us, for us sinful, hard-headed, stiff-necked human beings. Father, I pray that each person here walks away with an appreciation for their mothers, but even more so, an appreciation of that great love that you have for us. Be with us, I pray. Help us not to stray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.